mistakes your church video team is making on today's Technobabble.
This is Technobabble, your weekly source for church video and graphics news, perspectives, tips, and tricks. And now here's your host, Paul Clifford.
Hi, everyone, and welcome again to Technobabble. This is the weekly show where we talk all about using video and graphic design in the church. My name is Paul Allen Clifford, and I'm your host, and I'd love for you to join the conversation, so head on over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/contact. There you can leave your questions or comments, or just leave them below the video. That's fine, too, as well. You might see that I have my Twitter handle above the address here. If you're watching the video, that's Paul Allen Cliff, PaulAllanCliff, and you can reach me there as well. So let's talk real quick, and by real quick I probably mean for the next 15 to 20 minutes, about these mistakes that I see over and over again in church video teams all over the country. Every time I visit one, granted, it's an admittedly small sample because I haven't visited thousands of churches, just 20 or 30, but ranging from little bitty ones to great big ones, I often see these same mistakes. And so I thought that I would share what I see and why it's a mistake and what you need to do to correct it. So the number one thing that I see churches do is not considering the particular audience that they're shooting for. If you're shooting for an audience in the same room, and by that I mean IMAG, image magnification, most of the shots should be bigger than what's showing in real life. Now, there is something to be said, and some people will disagree with me, but I don't care. This is the way that I see it. There's something to be said for sight lines. Sometimes a wide shot gives you a perspective that you wouldn't see even if it's smaller than what you would see with your naked eye, just because you can't sit on the opposite side of the auditorium instantaneously. So there's something to be said for sight lines. But if you're putting up reaction shots of the crowd and you've got to let people know now, don't react when you see yourself on the screen. You've made a mistake. I mean, unless you have no other choice, which my church right now, we're out of outputs on our switcher, so we have, quite frankly, no other choice. But it's really important to consider the audience. I was running camera one time and someone was directing, and the audience was twofold, IMAG and online. And yet, we were getting some really, really, really wide shots. So online, the box was too small for them to make out any details whatsoever in the really, really, really wide shots. But in person, there really wasn't a good reason to have those shots, and they were taking them over and over and over again. So who is the audience of that shot? Who are you taking the shot for? Consider that before you take the shot, because I think that that's really important. Mistake number two I see a lot, ignoring copyright. Now, some churches are doing this out of ignorance. They think that since they're a church and they're a nonprofit, they can do anything they darn well please. That's not true, by the way. But some are doing it and they're justifying it, saying that the outcome justifies the means, the ends justify the means. No. No, it doesn't. It's not the case that because you're changing lives and eternities, that you should ignore the fact that the artists who created these things deserve to be paid for what you're doing with them. So that includes, but is not limited to, ripping DVDs that you don't have permission to rip so that it's more convenient. Sorry, I wish that that was okay, but it's not. Showing commercial DVDs without a license or permission to show them, like movies. There is the CVLI license. That's Church Video Licensing Incorporated, CVLI.org. I believe it's .org. CVLI does exist, but it doesn't cover every single video. It doesn't cover every single movie. It doesn't cover every single TV show. It's limited in its scope, so you need to pay attention to that. So that's probably the second thing, is just ignoring copyright or saying that it doesn't pertain to you because you're not a for-profit business, which isn't the case. Doesn't matter whether you make money or not, except in how much the damages are. So if you don't make money on a copyright violation, there's a good chance that you'll get a smaller judgment against you as opposed to a larger judgment, but you're in the fault either way. And remember, St. Paul said the worker is worth his wages, and he was quoting Jesus, who said the exact same thing. And if we go to Romans 13, where he says, obey the civil authorities, you really have a hard time making this case that it's okay to break this law. It's not that it's something like a Jim Crow law or some law that's just so egregiously amoral that it needs to be broken. It's the law that says the person that made it needs to be paid for what you're using it for. And the licensing terms on DVDs don't include public performance. They don't include ripping the DVD. They don't include making montages of DVD clips, etc. So don't ignore copyright. Number three, not leading up. I've seen this propensity in my own self. Some of the leaders at my church are very strong leaders, very strong. And it's hard to talk to them when you want to be humble. You want to be a good follower. But whenever there's something that just needs not to be that way, at least say what you're feeling. At least let them know. Not in a, well, if you don't do it my way, I'm going to walk out kind of way. But in a, I just want you to be aware of this and know that what you're suggesting is going to take a whole lot of time, and here's something else we could possibly do. Or what you're suggesting violates copyright, and here's something else we can do. Notice I'm always providing an alternative and not saying no to what they ask, but saying, I'm willing to try what you ask unless it violates laws of physics that I can't violate. But here are some alternatives that I think would be better in line with us trying to be above reproach. So, not leading up. And that also goes for artistic choices. Sometimes people that are not artists try and make artistic choices. And I think very kindly and gently to suggest a better idea sometimes will help them see, oh, that is a better idea. Why didn't I think of that? Yeah, let's do that. And let them take credit if they want. But sometimes artistic choices need to be made by the artist who wants to implement them, and not by a leader who isn't an artist in that particular medium. So lead up. Lead up humbly, but lead up. Next, not doing training or not doing ongoing training. I've seen this more than once, where you'll get a warm body and you'll be so excited that you'll just throw them into the fray with very minimal training. this is part of what I'm planning on doing. I want to fix this in churches all over the country by providing online training for you guys. Maybe that's through these podcasts. Maybe it's through the books that I write. Maybe it's through an upcoming announcement that I should be able to tell you about real soon. If it's after, say, the middle of September 2014, this is probably live, and it's really exciting. It's an, well, I've said too much already. So, not doing training and ongoing training. By the way, as you get in new equipment, you might need to do some new training. If people get lax in their skills, you might need to do some new training. You just might need to help people stay current and advance beyond where they are to where they can be. So just consider doing that. That's really a hallmark of a great video ministry. And number five, not understanding transitions. Now, I know that this is my personal pet peeve, but I've seen it over and over again. Transitions mean things. They just do. They're used on purpose for specific meanings. This past weekend, I was in my church's online campus, and the guy that was running the switcher initially wanted to do a cross wipe, which for what we were doing wasn't horrid, but what we settled on, because what we were doing is we were going from a full shot of slides to a two box, a split box, where he had the online host in one box and the slides in another. So what we did was we squeezed down the slides and moved it over to where it was going to finally be, and then removed it completely because it was the same thing. So that is an example of continuing to work until you get the right transition for the situation. That's a very unusual transition, but as you're going from a full screen to two and then back, you might want to do something like that. With that said, that would be the exception to the rule. Normally, you're going to want cuts and an occasional cross dissolve. And by occasional, I mean 4 or 5 per service, not 4 or 5 per minute. I've seen this done over and over again, 4 or 5 cross dissolves per minute, because people think that's the way that it's done. But church video is part of a larger genre of video. It's part of live event video, and it's part of television video. Even though it's not on television, use inspiration from video in your genre. Now, if you want to occasionally mix that up, that's fine, but you should almost never use a wipe. Wipes should be the exception, used very, very intentionally. A wipe means a change in time and location in a very old movie. Nowadays, we don't use wipes hardly at all. In fact, cross dissolves are even falling out of favor. You'll see jump cuts used more than cross dissolves. So I want to suggest to you that the cut is your utility transition. If you need to do a change of time and or location, a cross dissolve is preferable. If you have just a horrible shot, you're violating the 180 rule, something like that, sometimes you can cover that up with a cross dissolve, but that's pretty much it. I think if you're doing a scene where there's a lot of people milling around, like in a public place, in a party, something like that, then perhaps someone walks through in front of the camera wipe is permissible, but you wouldn't want to use the someone walks in front of the camera wipe when, quite frankly, there's no way someone could walk in front of the camera. You know, if you're doing IMAG and it's quite clear that the top of all the people is in the bottom third of your shot, using a wipe that looks like someone walked in front of the camera when that's not really possible unless they're able to walk in midair, just look out for that. So those are the five mistakes that I came up with. What are more mistakes that you've seen, and where do you disagree with me? Where are you thinking, yeah, Paul, you're full of it. Yeah. You absolutely should do a 3D cube spin for every single transition. I don't know what you're talking about. Where am I wrong? Leave it in the comments below. This show is generously provided for by viewers like you. Thank you. Head over to patreon.com/paulallencliff. That's patreon.com/paulallencliff. And you can support the show for as little as $1 a month. Every little bit helps us change lives and eternities, so you can be a part of that. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to like. Don't forget to share this video. Share the audio. Every bit of how you interact with this show makes it better, and that's my goal. I want this to be the great resource for you and your church that it can be, and I need your help to do it. So don't forget to join me in that. Until next time, this is Paul Allen Clifford with TrinityDigitalMedia.com.